This is an in-between-isode of the All Things Risk podcast. Welcome to the All Things Risk podcast. My name is Ben Cattaneo. I am your host. This is the show that examines the themes of risk, resilience, uncertainty, randomness in all manner of domains, things like the arts, sport, travel, current affairs. And normally what we do is long-form conversations with interesting people. But today this is just playing around here with a bit of a different format. This is an in-between-isode, to borrow a phrase that Tim Ferriss uses in his podcast, in which I'll just offer some nuggets very quickly. Maybe some random thoughts if you like, hopefully not too random. And I just wanted to play around with the format, number one. And number two, I don't want to overcrowd the introductions and the outros to some of the longer conversations that I have and will be having. So today I wanted to talk about the role of being present in the face of uncertainty. And I think if you've caught the first two episodes, this is a bit of an eclectic podcast, but one that will provide a number of nuggets for you and useful tips and tools in addition to some interesting stories and guests. But the first two episodes certainly dealt with a lot around uncertainty and the fact that we can't always make calculated decisions about everything. There's a thing called cognitive load, which I'll get onto in a moment. And oftentimes, the best way to deal with uncertainty is simply to learn how to be present. In other words, to deal with what's in front of us. And psychologists call this a state of flow, or sometimes in sports, this is called the zone, where we're fully immersed in something, where relaxed, we find what we're doing very enjoyable. And I find that this is one of the best ways to enjoy life. The problem is that we are distracted pretty much all the time, or we can be. Things like social media, Facebook, Twitter, texts, all kinds of things. In fact, I read somewhere that when we get likes on Facebook or Twitter, it's the equivalent of, or we do actually get a physical dopamine hit. So now the body's looking for things to distract us. And I don't know if you've ever found yourself kind of constantly checking your phone or feeling like you needed to. Well, that's actually the body's reaction to some of all of this. And we need to be able to think clearly and to be present in whatever we do. We also have to deal with lots of distractions, particularly at work. Open plan offices, which I actually really dislike, but they're a fact of life. But they are they're conduits for lots of distractions. And again, I read somewhere that whenever we're distracted on a task, we can take between 5 to 15 minutes to get back to where we were. So if you think about it, you're working on something, whether you're at work doing a report, or you're working on a blog, or at home, or whatever it is you're doing. You get distracted. Let's say you're working for an hour. You get distracted twice in that hour, and that could be up to 30 minutes that you waste trying to just get back to where you were. So definitely not good, and not enjoyable, not as enjoyable as being fully immersed in something. And I think that's why a number of hobbies are actually growing in popularity, things like ultra distance running and cycling, martial arts. So to speak to the first two guests that I've had on the show, but other things that really put people in a state of being totally present or fully present. If you do martial arts, you can't really be too distracted. If you're sparring, for example, that could be very dangerous. So that type of thing forces us to be fully present. But there are a number of ways in which I think we can learn to be fully present. So I'm going to offer 8 ways in which we can train ourselves or learn to become more fully present, more able to be or get into that zone, that state of flow, and deal with uncertainty in a much more effective way. So here goes. Number one, meditation. Meditation is an extremely valuable practice. It's no longer right to dismiss it as something that's sort of woo-woo or hokey. There are huge numbers of scientific studies that have shown the benefits of meditation, so much so that a number of organizations, whether it's investment banks or NFL's the Seattle Seahawks, or people like Sir Richard Branson or the late Steve Jobs, or any number of high performers, meditate every day. There's a Zen saying that goes, meditate 20 minutes per day unless you're too busy, in which case do so for an hour. In other words, There's a productivity benefit that we get out of learning how to meditate. And I meditate regularly, and I notice that when I do so, I'm less irritable. It's a lot easier for me to stay focused on something. It's a very important practice. If you're new to it, there are a number of apps or books that you can go to learn how to meditate. But probably the best way is to just find yourself a good teacher who can tell you. And anybody can meditate. Please don't say that your brain can't meditate. And anyone who has a brain can meditate. It's just all about training. It's the same thing as exercise. Speaking of which, number two is exercise. Definitely take care of your body. Do something every day. Every day exercise, whether that's running, cycling, get into racket sports, whatever it is, find something that you enjoy doing and stick with it. I think that's the absolute key. If the gym's not for you, that's okay. Find an activity that you're going to stick with. For me, the gym isn't for me either. I like to run so I can go outside. I like to do martial arts. But there are any number of things. It could be, for example, playing with your kids. It could be taking the stairs instead of the elevator, playing football, whatever it is, find something that you enjoy and do it, and do it every day. The human body has not unlimited potential, but so much more potential than I think we are accustomed to. Our ancestors would kick our asses in terms of running or mountain climbing or any number of things that they would be able to do that we have lost or are losing. So definitely exercise every day. It's again one of those things that if you say you don't have enough time, that's a false economy. Exercise pays itself back in terms of energy and being able to focus. So mind, in terms of meditation, that's number one. Number two, exercise. Number three, eat right, eat well. And I think, again, we often are not very mindful of what we put in our body. So spend some time thinking about how you fuel yourself. And just, I'm not going to spend too much time on diet here. And we might have a guest who can talk about that. But as a rule, stay away from the processed foods. Eat whole foods as close to nature as possible. And eat a lot of plants. Plants are good for you. We need a lot of fiber. So eat whole foods. That's number three. Number four, take regular breaks. There's something called cognitive load that I alluded to, and I'll talk about a little bit more in a moment. But essentially, we can only do good, productive work for a few hours every day. We can't be super productive all the time. And it's very important that we take little breaks. I read somewhere that for every 50 minutes that we work, you take a 10-minute break or something along those lines. But don't just sit there and try and kill yourself trying to finish off a report or a paper or something that you're working on if it's not happening, unless you've got a tight deadline, in which case a little bit harder to do. But take regular breaks throughout the day. Fourth thing, if you are going to take a break, then move around. So I'm talking about things beyond just physical exercise. In between, just move around. So motion creates emotion, which is a wonderful quote from the movie Boiler Room, which I like. If you're stuck, whether it's you've got a case of writer's block, you're thinking about an idea, or whatever, just take a walk. Or if you're thinking about something, think about a problem or whatever, just take a walk, move around, move your body. I think you'll find that ideas will start to flow, things will start to happen, and things will start to be unlocked. Do so throughout the day, in addition to getting your regular exercise. Next, rest. Rest is incredibly important. We have a huge amount of machismo around not sleeping, and it's very bad for us. I've certainly succumbed, but it's very important that we stay well rested. We get enough, not just in terms of quantity, but quality of sleep. And I'm also a big proponent of the power nap, or naps in general. I wish that they were more acceptable in many workplaces. A power nap, 10-15 minutes, it just does wonders. If you find it difficult to do that in your office or in an environment where that might be frowned upon, go out, find a park bench, for example, and close your eyes and get a little bit of rest before you move on to your next activity. Very important that we rest properly. Next, schedule some alone time every day, some time to think and to plan, and put that in your diary. Don't just have it happen when it happens, or think it'll just happen on its own. Schedule that time. I came across an article that I will put in the show notes today that had a wonderful quote from Elon Musk, who owns and runs Tesla Motors, one of our biggest innovators in the world nowadays. He had a wonderful quote, and it is this, quote, "The mind is sharper and keener in seclusion and uninterrupted solitude. Originality thrives in seclusion, free of outside influences beating upon us to cripple the creative mind. Be alone. That is when ideas are born." End quote. Wonderful quote. Do take some time and schedule that time. Don't schedule back-to-back meetings or appointments in your diary. That will easily derail you and put you out of the present. Don't boast about being busy, busy, busy. You know, it's less about that, and I think we'll all find that we're more productive when we're able to calmly think things through. So don't wear busyness as a badge of honor. So the last one is reduce decision fatigue. I talked about this thing called cognitive load. So it turns out that we have a limited amount of cognitive ability to use every day. And every time we make a decision, we drain some of that. So to combat that, try to take away as many small decisions as you can each day. So for example, eat the same or similar things for lunch every day. Know what you're going to wear, so it's you're not spending 10 minutes every day thinking about what you're going to wear that day. Any number of things, any small decisions that you make will eat up the time that we might need to be spending on bigger decisions. So again, very important to find ways to reduce that cognitive load. Okay, that's it. That's the 8 things. And I hope that you enjoyed this or got something out of it. We'll be back in a few days with our next wonderful long-form conversation, which I'm sure you will enjoy. In the meantime, have a wonderful weekend. And don't forget, risk is life.